From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, we're counting down to game week 22, and among the talking points, Spurs getting worse. Kane, is it time to say Harry Vardercci? And will Hasenhüttl say 9 to the team that scored 9 against Saints last time out? Brilliant. It's all coming up in the show. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thank you for being with us today. It's a packed pod featuring around about 22,000th in the world, Jack Lang. Hi, Jack.
Hi, James.
A little bit higher than you, Sam Bonfield's also in 10,000th in the world.
Yeah, clinging in the top 10K.
Nice one, Sam. And also in from the world of fantasy Samdom is Sam Parkin. Sam, how are you doing in the world?
It's not been a good Christmas, James.
It's been pretty good for me. Yeah. No, I just scooted past you.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. On account of Spurs, as I recall, because last time you were in, you were, was this right, shipping out all your Liverpool players for Tottenham assets? How did that work out?
I was on the back of a 95-point-odd week. Things were good. Mo Salah was doing the business for me, and then we had the FIFA Club World Cup, so that a portion of the blame's going to FIFA.
Right.
A portion of the blame to Jose Mourinho for the fall off in their performances.
Right.
I think I put Dele Alli and Son was my captain prior to him getting sent off against Chelsea. Mm. And basically it's all unravelled from there.
Any blame left for yourself?
Yes. But during the Christmas period, I just didn't give myself enough preparation time. So again, I know how difficult the job is now for the guys in the firing line in the Premier League.
You need
because
a winter break, don't you?
I panicked and I made some really bad decisions.
Right, we're going to talk a lot about Spurs. Well, not too much, but a bit about Spurs.
Do we have to?
Well, no, normally you are Spurs content provider numero uno, Sam, and you know, has that bubble burst? And also, what to do about Harry Kane? I know with Liverpool coming up for Tottenham at the weekend, that's going to be one of the fixtures we'll focus on. But now that we know a little bit more about Harry Kane's injury, just a quick word on what managers who have Kane, of whom you were one, should be doing. Lee, for example, tweets in saying, following on from last week's show, who is the best replacement for the injured Kane? Ings, Calvert-Lewin, or someone else? I've already got Vardy and Abraham. Thanks.
I think Danny Ings is a great option. He's just looking so consistent and in such good form right now. And I don't think it necessarily matters that the last, you know, the game that they've got next is against Southampton, who they didn't fare that well against earlier on in the season. But for me, I think if I was in that position where I just lost Harry Kane, I'd probably look at Bobby Firmino at Liverpool, given that they've got this nice double game week coming up in game week 24. It kind of makes sense to have him as one of your assets. It's a nice, easy transfer. 1.7 million saved from your budget by going down from Kane to Firmino too.
Right, and his numbers are probably better than Kane's anyway, aren't they?
Probably, yeah. I mean, the trouble with Firmino is he does often assist the assist, which for us as fantasy managers isn't that great. But what we have seen of late and what we will probably continue to see over the course of the next few weeks is that Liverpool are kind of all-out gung-ho attack and he's going to be there or thereabouts in the points.
Okay. Any other options for a post-Kane fantasy team?
I would maybe go for Rashford. I think he's going to be a constant in the United side. Good fixtures. Scored 3 in the last 4 in all competitions. Saves you 1.8 million. And probably, just to counter what Sam said a little bit, if you're trying to get Liverpool players in, there's probably 4 players, I would say, the 2 fullbacks, Salah and Mane in front of Firmino in my mind. So I think Rashford's going to continue to play and continue to score.
Brilliant. Jack?
I mean, you've mentioned him already, but I would go for Ings out of those lot. We've seen how good he is sniffing around those chances, but he's also a bonus point magnet. He's got more bonus points than anyone else in the entire game, 27.
Wow.
So, I mean, that just underlines, firstly, his influence on the team. I mean, we know that winning goals are awarded in the bonus point system. And he makes a lot of tackles, presses people, so that all clocks up into sweet, sweet bonus.
Magnificent. Kane, in the meantime, is the most transferred out player this week, so plenty of managers are looking for a replacement. Second on that list, and this surprised me, is Jamie Vardy. Oh, almost 250,000 managers deciding that the most effective striker in Fantasy Premier League is no longer part of their future plans.
It just baffles me, actually, this one. I think, all right, I get that he's missed the last couple of game weeks, and that's frustrating as an FPL manager. But he was back for the League Cup game in midweek. He will play at the weekend against Southampton, who he did incredibly well against earlier on in the season. I think you're mad to get rid of Jamie Vardy. I really do.
Okay. You're mad. Quarter of a million of you.
It's the kind of thing you love to see, though, if you have got him.
And, oh, I'm thrilled.
And are happy with him.
Does it not worry you? Do they know something that we don't?
No, I think I know something they don't.
Yeah.
What's that, Jack?
He's a great pick.
Okay, then. If you'd like to take part in our league, by the way, which is a broad array of kind of managerial talent, so I'm sure you'll find a home there. 6QP8QK is the code. Brilliant. After this, let's have a quick look at some of the standout fixtures from the returning Premier League this weekend. Game week 22 fixtures, by the way, it's a Friday deadline, Sam. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, Friday deadline.
I've got a lot of work to do, I'm on it.
7 p.m. Friday evening, that's an hour before the action begins at Bramall Lane. Sheffield United taking on West Ham. Is that a game, by the way? Is that a game that fantasy managers should be focusing on? West Ham in rejuvenated form under David Moyes. Sheffield United, who've seen their results slip a little bit of late.
It's a game I'll be watching closely. I think at this stage, there aren't many people without at least one Sheffield United asset, whether that's Lundstrom, of course, or Dean Henderson. I've got both of those. And a lot of my best game weeks this season have come when Sheffield United have kept a clean sheet, because I get, obviously, double points. A lot of people in my leagues only have one of those, or a couple of brave souls haven't even got Lundstrom. So I'm looking at that fixture, hoping that the West Ham bounce comes to an abrupt end.
Right, with the bounce so far consisting of a win against desperately poor Bournemouth and Gillingham in the Cup.
Hey, it's a start, James.
No. I mean, you know, but it's not definitive,
it's not massive,
by any means.
No.
Right. How many Sheffield United defenders have you got, Sam?
I've got Lundstrom.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be against maybe sacrificing him in the next couple of weeks.
Really?
Ooh,
yeah, quite possibly. Not because he's done anything particularly wrong, and not because there's a better Sheffield United options available, but I just think I'm going to have to get, you know, the higher priced assets into my side. So it may mean having a back line that consists of players that cost 4.4,
that type of figure.
Did
you buy him early enough for it to be
no.
worth a profit? No.
Lundstrom 5.1, so yeah, significant price difference there. How many blades have you got at the back?
I've got two as well, like Jack. I've got Henderson and Lundstrom.
Well, those are the two options to go for.
Yeah, and they've been absolutely fantastic for me. Unlike Sam, Lundstrom's going nowhere ever from my team.
Right. Fair enough. On the other side of the coin there, what about West Ham? Is there anyone that you guys are eyeing up as potentially of interest under David Moyes?
I think they're a watching brief for me. Uh-huh. All right, they've won the last two games, but they were versus Bournemouth and Gillingham. So we're yet to really see whether the West Ham team under David Moyes is going to be significantly improved on what we saw under Pellegrini before. If we see some improvement, then yes, ahead of the double game week, it would be nice to own somebody. But the double game is tough.
Right. Sam Parkin, I know you've got an eye on Villa City this weekend.
Yeah, I would expect both teams to score in this. It was really open at the Etihad. I think it was 37 shots cumulatively. Villa did particularly well first half, blown away after the break. I'm potentially thinking about bringing in Aguero. He's got a phenomenal record against Villa, 6 in his last 4, and he's the highest scoring player against promoted sides since 2011.
Okay.
He has got 31 goals in that time.
Right.
And I just think this is a game where Pep, yes, he's got the options of playing no striker or Jesus. I think Aguero could come back in for this one. And I just think when you look at Liverpool's fixture at Spurs, Manchester City's bigger hitters are a better bet this weekend against the Villa side, who are looking okay in a changed system. But I expect, as Leicester did and as Liverpool did, City to win at Villa Park.
What do you think, Sam Bonfield? All right then. What about Grealish? Have we all got Grealish in our midfields?
I don't.
Yeah, you don't, Sam.
I haven't, but after this weekend, I think get him in because the fixtures are brilliant. That said, at Villa Park is where he's been brilliant. In 5 of the last 6 game weeks, he's got 6 points or more. So it just shows you he's doing fantastic work in front of the home fans. And if you're looking at Aston Villa without a striker, he's going to continue to be the main man.
Okay. Jack, do you have him?
Yeah, I've got him.
Will you rest him or will you play him in this game?
Well, I've got a few obvious kind of cheaper players that I usually turn to bench. And I tend to think if I'm paying 5.5 or 6 million for a player, I should play him even in a tough game, really.
Okay.
So I think I will be playing him. Like Sam Parkin said, I think Villa will score. City aren't that watertight at all, really. And, well, his performance in the League Cup in midweek was very reassuring to me. He was excellent. Didn't have any final product, but he was outside the area for most of the game, at the centre of everything they did. And, yeah, I'll take a chance on him this weekend.
Okay. Sam Bonfield, you want to talk about Leicester against Southampton?
I do, yeah.
Another 9-0?
No, I don't think so. I think this game's interesting because most of us will probably own fantasy assets from both of these sides, particularly Leicester. Most people are on the likes of Vardy, Soyuncu at the back, or Chilwell. James Maddison, who... Just interesting to note that Brendan Rodgers came out and said that he might have some sort of injury. He did get a knock to the head, so it might be a little bit of concussion-based concern. So keep an eye on that one. But yeah, and obviously we've also, most of us, got Danny Ings or somebody from Southampton now. So from an FPL point of view, this is a really interesting game. I just don't see it being 9-0. I think Southampton have massively turned a corner since that result back in game week 10. And they're on a really nice run, picked up 10 points over Christmas. So there just seems to be better. They've also become more watertight at the back. They've only conceded 13 goals in the last 11 matches since that 9-0 kind of drubbing.
Only two teams have done better than that defensively.
Yeah.
One of them being, of course, Leicester. But yeah, it's been quite a remarkable turnaround. They won four of their last five in all competitions. Intriguingly, actually, or not, you decide. Leicester's Jamie Vardy and Southampton's Danny Ings are the two players with the best shot conversion rate in the Premier League this season.
The one I'd be interested in this game would be Jose Perez,
right?
Considering he's got back-to-back hat-tricks against Southampton. He's going for a third on the spin, which I think is a record. And considering the way he played at St Mary's,
right?
And he's scored, I think, in the last couple. He certainly scored at Newcastle and featured in the last couple of Premier League games. I think there's a good shot that he could be deployed somewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 6 million is the price, but it will cost you, beyond the money, one of your coveted midfield slots. Great shout, though. Crystal Palace are taking on Arsenal, which is a fixture. For all that Palace have this habit of producing clean sheets when you least expect it, this is a fixture rich in goals of late. Sam, you were doing the numbers. What did you come up with? 23 goals in the last five meetings.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was there actually at the Emirates last year to see Palace win 3-2, and they've obviously got a habit of doing that away from home at Selhurst. You'd expect them to be pretty good defensively. I've got three Palace defenders.
Well,
have
you?
Gaeta in goal,
right.
And I've got Kelly, and I think Gary Cahill returns this weekend as well. I'm a little bit nervous about that game, considering the improvement that we've seen in Arteta. Pepe, to name one, Aubameyang, if he's fit. I might have to do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of shuffling because I don't probably want to go in with three.
Right. Sure, a lot of managers will be looking at Arsenal and wondering if it's time to start reinvesting in their players again. Is that something you've been looking at, and which players do you think would most reward an investment?
I'm not looking at Arsenal at the moment, to be honest. I haven't really touched Arsenal or Man United players all season just because the...
You've been hurt before.
Well, no, I don't think the prices correspond to how good the team is. I've said before on this show, when I'm splashing about the big cash, you're really buying into a team, not just a player. And I don't see either Arsenal or Man United as having the kind of quality really around the pitch that makes it worth it.
All
having
right.
said that...
Sorry,
bringing it back. If I was to pick an Arsenal player, I might just be tempted to have a little punt on Mesut Ozil, just because I think he's playing a lot under Arteta. I think I regard him as a misunderstood genius, and I could just see him exploding at some point with a 15.
How much do you have to pay to get a Mesut Ozil?
I mean, objectively, too much.
How much is it?
Whatever it is, it's too much.
Okay,
7.2.
Only 7.2.
Only 7.2.
I mean. Yeah.
Still too much money, I think.
Sam, are you looking at anyone from Arsenal?
I feel I should be.
You can just make a noise again if you prefer.
No, this time I genuinely do. I feel I should be looking at Arsenal. There's been a massive improvement in them under Arteta. And I know that is still relatively new. My issue is a bit like Jack's in that they're so expensive. So I keep looking at Pepe thinking, yes, I quite like the look of you. I'd like to put you in my team. But I'm not going to take out like Kevin De Bruyne or Mo Salah.
Is he 9.1 or something?
Yeah, it's just too much money. And that's where my issue lies. I'd really like it if Arsenal could just get a bit more solid at the back because their defenders are relatively cheap. So I could bring one of them in, no problem.
Right.
But they're just defensively not good enough. So they're definitely a watching brief for me. But I do want to get on one of them. If it continues into game week 22 and they do well against Palace, I think I probably will look to bring one in before everyone else does because it will be a nice differential.
And who would that be?
Well, that's
who have you got your eye on?
Well, ideally Pepe, but
yeah. All right then. By the way, in this fixture, Luka Milivojevic got a great record. He scored in his last three at home to Arsenal, but he won't do this time because he's out suspended, isn't he? Right. Hey, big game this weekend, Sam. Spurs are hosting Liverpool.
I thought we weren't talking about this one.
No,
James.
We really are. quite the opposite. Should we be captaining our Liverpool assets in this?
Yes, I think we should. Spurs defensively are terrible and have been for a while now. I can see Spurs scoring a goal in this game because I think with Son up top and coming back from his suspension that he'll look to kind of rejuvenate the side with Kane missing. But I think absolutely this is a game where both Mane and Salah could go on a bit of a riot. Now, the issue for me is, which one would you captain if you own both of them? And there's a few people out there, as I am, looking to own both of them for the double.
Uh-huh.
You then give yourself a whole new FPL conundrum, which is which of the Liverpool boys gets the armband each week?
I feel like it's Mane, and the numbers are really impressive. 11 goals he's been involved in his last 9 Premier League appearances. That's 6 actually scored and another 5 assists. But then again, the feeling with Salah was that he's finally over that ankle issue and as such is back to being the player who's dominated FPL scoring for the last 2 seasons.
And has penalties in his locker too.
Huh.
And is really selfish, which I love.
Right, so Salah, you think, if you have Salah...
I have Salah and at the moment I've got the captaincy on Vardy, but
right.
Sam might have just talked me into it there.
Right. Well, have a think about that. We'll return to issues of the armband later on, but you mentioned Spurs and their defensive woes. Only Norwich, right at the bottom of the table, have kept as few clean sheets as Spurs this season, and a little bit of a feeling that the bubble, as we mentioned before, has burst with Spurs. What have you done with all those Spurs players you went out and bought, Sam?
I've got rid of the Dele Alli, and Son was obviously suspended, but I've still had Harry Kane. So he's going to have to go out this week. I think it's fascinating to see which way Jose Mourinho goes, because after that Chelsea debacle, can I call it that? Certainly out-tactic by Frank Lampard. He's changed the system and gone to a back three. I agree with Sam, though, really. I think back three, back five, back four, the fullbacks on the weekend is going to be the most interesting area up against Mane and Salah. So maybe Sessegnon would have a role to play. But
right.
I'd be concerned about Aurier up against Mane on the other side.
Could be rough for Spurs this weekend then. Will it get any better beyond game week 22 though? Well, funnily enough, that's what we're going to be looking at next a bit as we bring you the long view. Long view, everybody, as we take a slightly more long-term approach to our team strategies. I mentioned Spurs there, to be fair. They're not looking particularly attractive. They're listed, the FDR chart, which is a fantastic thing to have, and you can download them at premierleague.com. They're regularly updated. They have them fourth bottom in terms of the worst fixtures coming up. Liverpool, obviously, this weekend, then Watford away, then Norwich at home. They don't seem that bad, but it's Man City after that I think skews it, sees them languishing down the unfortunate end of this particular chart. Up at the top, the team that's Premier League rating as having the best fixtures coming up are Liverpool. And that's partly, Sam, because they've got a double game week in game week 24.
Yeah, you shouldn't be deterred by Tottenham and then Manchester United in the next fortnight with the games that follow. Unbelievably good-looking fixtures. I suppose it's just a case of which three you get in primed, ready for that double game week.
Right.
I've got Alexander-Arnold back into my squad just in the last fortnight because of his ridiculous form. And I just was so jealous of those points coming in for everyone else. Had to get him back in. Salah and Mane are my other two. And I think everyone pretty much across the board will be looking at probably three of those with Robertson as well thrown into the mix. But
right.
They're my three definitely for this beautiful run of games.
Okay. Wolves and West Ham, both away fixtures, are the two games that Liverpool will be facing in a game week 24. Jack, your three Liverpool players, will you get three for that?
I have got three. I've had both fullbacks the whole season.
Okay.
And although it will be tempting to get Mane in just for the, you know, the explosive potential, I think I'll stick with those two with Salah.
Okay.
I like the fact that I've looked at my defence for most of the season. I've never really felt a need to change those two. I just think they're great value.
So happy for you.
Alexander-Arnold, obviously. But right. Robertson, I mean, if he was a 7.0 midfielder and getting as many assists as he did, we'd think he was a bargain.
Hmm.
Chuck clean sheets in on top and, yeah, I'm more than willing to keep him.
Right. He's a cheat code, isn't he?
He's great.
Yeah. Sam, three Liverpool players for you, is it?
It will be, yeah, for the double for sure.
Yeah. You're looking to get in Mane.
Yeah, I need Mane in my life.
Well, that's so true. Just out of interest, is anyone tempted by West Ham, mentioning them again, because, of course, they also have a double game week in game week 24?
The only one I think that would be on my radar would be Fabianski.
Right.
Just for save point potential, really. I don't think West Ham will have a great deal of success in those two games, but Fabianski,
to away at Leicester and then home to Liverpool,
yeah, I mean,
tough
that's
fixtures.
Pretty difficult. But Fabianski is more than capable of making, I don't know, 15 saves across those games.
All right, then. Who else leaps out at you from the FDR chart as having particularly inviting fixtures, as being worthy of some investment right now?
I quite like the look of Watford, actually. They might not sit that highly up the fixture ticker, but I think with the new manager bounce that we've seen from them, they look like they should do better in those games that they've got coming up than we would necessarily
anticipate. Well, the next two are good.
Before.
So they've got Newcastle at home and then, well, Southampton away is not as good as we might have thought a month ago.
Yeah.
But so, okay, which Hornets?
So there's a couple, I think. Ben Foster is definitely worth a look.
Right.
He is the top bonus point scorer for keepers so far this season. He's also second for total points scored by goalkeepers so far this season, which when you think about how poor Watford were before Pearson arrived is quite frankly unbelievable.
Right.
So he's in good form and looks a good option. I also, strangely, and I always hate myself when I say this because he always then goes and gets a red card or does something that irritates me, but Deeney looks good right now. And I keep looking at him thinking I could do with a replacement for Tammy Abraham to free up the money that I'm going to need for my Mane in transfer. And I'm drawn to him somehow. The fixtures look good. He is their talisman. He's their leader. He kind of drives them forward. I don't know. There's something about Deeney that makes me think he's going to do well over the next few weeks.
Anybody else? Troy Deeney?
I spent a year playing alongside Troy and I'm so jealous of the career he's gone on to have. I can't put him in my fantasy league team. But he's an unbelievably good leader, and Watford is so much better with him in it because he organises from the front incredibly, like a defender, like a central midfielder. But I would go the other side. I would go De La Feo from the left and Sarr from the right. I think De La Feo was really criticised early part of this season by the Watford fans, and I think he looks revitalised under Nigel Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most important thing for him to get those front players firing. De La Feo looks like a different player. So we spoke about the alternatives to Kane.
Uh-huh.
If you need to get that big hitter, high-priced midfielder in and you need a cheap striker, I think De La Feo comes into your running.
That's interesting. What about at the back? Because I must admit, I was having a little nose around, you know, with all the clean sheets that they've been having at Watford defenders. Is it worth hanging on for Janmaat, who's due back, I think, for the 18th of January? I think that's the current projection. Or should I go in for one of the other options that's available right now, Cabaselli or someone like that?
I do like Cabaselli. I've had kind of my eye on him all season, just because when he's not in the team, they haven't won any games really, Watford. I think they've been defeated twice in the 12-13 starts that he's had, Cabaselli. That said, he's suspended for the coming game, so after that fixture, potential to get him in. Defensively, they're a lot better. I think he's a big part of that.
Right. Jack?
I think the problem with Janmaat is that there's Femenia as well.
So right.
There's two you know, competing right back. So I'd probably give that a swerve. I'd probably go for Foster if I was looking at Watford.
But you're not. Are you looking at Everton, Jack?
I look at their fixtures.
Are you so happy with all your team that you're not looking at anything right now?
I'm pretty happy. But I look at Everton. I look at the fixtures, and they are, you know, they're pretty lip smacking. Brighton at home, West Ham, Newcastle, Watford, Crystal Palace. I think that's probably the best run of five games. Yeah, but we'll leave it for five for now, shall we?
We'll see where they are.
But then I look at the way they've been playing, and I'm going to struggle to get involved just at the moment. I think they're still finding their feet under Carlo Ancelotti. Maybe at a push, a defender. I know Sam B has got Mason Holgate, which I think is quite a good shout. He's cheap. He starts every week.
How cheap is he?
4.4.
Okay.
And I think there is potential there for a two or three clean sheets in the next couple of games.
Okay. Any other toffees?
So maybe have a look at Sidibe. He looks promising at the back as well. Hasn't been playing at the back, has been playing in midfield. So when you've got an out of position defender playing in midfield, that's always nice because attacking returns potential is there. Plus, obviously, they still get those all important 4 points for the clean sheet. The thing that put me off was that he's at 5.4 now. So he's not a cheap defender in the same way that Holgate is, hence why I went that way.
All right, up next, it's time to have a look at your responses to our Wednesday tweet, which was, which FPL player would you like to transfer in but can't quite afford? Fantasy Manager, we asked on Twitter which player you'd like to transfer in but can't quite afford. Caleb responds, Nicolas Pepe, like you were saying, Sam. I might sell Vardy, says Caleb, but then I'd have to take a -4 since Pepe's a midfielder, and then I'll have to make two signings because I can't directly replace Vardy with Pepe. It's true. Amine says, Trent, I need to remove Dean. He's a fraud, says Amine. Harsh words there. Jesse says, I want Arteta to coach my team, but the FPL doesn't give me that option. Yeah, that's true. Petal says Trent, he's just too expensive to have. With rotation a factor, you need an active bench. And with TAA, it's almost impossible. I say that Trent is too expensive not to have, you know, in terms of the points that he's reaping at the moment. I'm with you, Sam. I got him in a couple of weeks ago because there was no point in being proud and sticking around without him. And about a billion people are replying with just the word Mane, that's the player that they want and they can't bring in. I mean, you can, of course, you can make the moves that you need to make if you play your wild card now. And there is one that's out there that very few people will have used so far. And Sam, you're a big advocate of playing the second wild card early.
Yeah, statistically, it's a good thing to do. I must admit, I myself don't do it. I hold it. But then I've only just played my first wild card in game week 19.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the good thing about this double game week is we've known about it for a while, so we have got another couple of game weeks worth of transfers to get where we want to be by 24. So,
okay. In terms of a player that you guys want to bring in that you can't, Manny for you, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam Parkin?
No, it sounds strange, but I'm relatively happy at the moment.
Okay.
After I've had a few horrific weeks.
Oh, to be Sam.
the fixtures look a little bit better for me. I've got that option of the wild card, which I'm flirting with the idea of this week. But yeah, in terms of moving anyone around, I think it's just about getting those three Liverpool players primed and ready for the double game week.
Numbers suggest that you can improve your team a lot, Sam, but
I've got work to do in terms of the substitutions this week.
Okay.
I've got Kane sitting there, so I have two options basically.
Okay.
I can get Aguero in for Kane, or I can get Mane into my midfield and go for a really cheap striker, some of the ones that we've
discussed.
But
none of you
already
at the moment have got like an object of desire, unattainable desire. For me, it would be Mo Salah. I would love to bring him in. There's no way I can get the cash together to do it. Jack?
I think the one I'm looking for at the moment, probably not this week, maybe in the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to get Heung-min Son back in.
Ooh.
Because he was explosive in a 3 or 4 week period. I think he'll be key to Tottenham's hopes. I've got Ali at the moment, and I think next 3 or 4 weeks I'll be moving towards Son in hope for a differential.
Right, and one of the kind of truths, the fantasy truths, was that when Kane's not around, Son explodes in terms of points. Is that actually true?
I think to some extent. I don't think he's entirely comfortable playing through the middle, and Tottenham definitely do lack a a focal point, particularly now they're under Jose Mourinho, who likes to play with a fixed point in attack. So I'm definitely going to wait and see how Mourinho kind of figures a way out how to play without Kane. But if Son features in the way that he has in previous Kane absences, I think he'll be a good investment.
I see. Up next, we're going to have a look at some low ownership but high return players in essential differential. Are you owned by less than 10% of the 7 million fantasy managers worldwide? But do you still represent an attractive investment prospect, in which case you could be one of our essential differentials? Sam, what name are you going to throw at us?
So I'm going to give you Sarr from Watford.
Oh, yeah.
Going to cost you 6.2 million. So he's not cheap in terms of that midfield position, but he is only owned by 0.9% of the game. So he is a huge differential. Now, since Pearson's arrival, he has got returns in 3 of the 5 games, goal and an assist against Manchester United in 18, a goal against Villa and an assist against Wolves. That's 28 FPL points in 5 matches. He looks really good. He's also had 12 shots, 11 shots from inside the penalty area, which is more than any other player at Watford in that period. I'm sold on him. I think he's really good. It's just, he's about a million more than I want to spend on him right now.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think he's brilliant.
It's a very interesting suggestion. Sam Parkin.
I'm going to go for Pedro Neto at Wolves. I saw him at Vicarage Road. He was outstanding and booked early on, and I thought, well, maybe a bit of a problem for him moving forward, but he got that elusive first goal after he had that one wrongly or rightly chalked off at Anfield. So you could say he's had 2 and 2, really. He's played the last 3 games, and I think Jota's really flattered to deceive this season, certainly in terms of fantasy league points. He's had hardly any double digit returns this season, and he's been had a problem with an injury recently. So if Neto gets a run of games, down as a midfielder as well, despite playing wide on the left hand side, I think he's a great shout.
Back off the Neto. He's only 5 million, so Sam, that fits your modest budget, and he's only owned by 0.1% of people. Jack, shock us with a name way out of left field.
Jordan Ayew.
Whoa.
He has been he's been an enabler for me this season.
Okay.
He's the kind of player you don't always want to play because, frankly, he doesn't score that much.
Yeah, he's had 3 returns and only 1 double-digit return this season.
But I think he's been in my lineup for all of those, so he's endeared himself to me. What I like about him is, firstly, he's so cheap. He's 5.0 and he plays 90 minutes pretty much every week. That alone would make him a worthy third striker. But then he will pop up with the odd goal, and you just look at his fixtures. The home ones in particular jump out to me between now and, well, March, April, really. Southampton at home, Sheffield United at home, Newcastle at home, Watford at home, Burnley at home. Even in those games, you'd be more than happy to leave him on the bench because he's cheap. But if you've got an injury elsewhere, if you've got defenders playing against Man City or Liverpool and you want to rotate them, or midfielders, you'd be more than happy to drop him in a game like that. And he may get you 2 points, but he may surprise you and get 9, like he has for me a few times.
Right. Okay. Wow, I'm enthusiastic now about that move. Excellent. Let's hear if anybody else is thinking to bring in Jordan Ayew this weekend, as after this we check out your last-minute transfers and who you're going to give the captain's armband to. Right then, the deadline approaches 7 o'clock, Sam Parkin. 7 o'clock Friday evening. So, what transfer are you going to make, or transfers?
Yeah, I've cleared the diary to give it my full focus. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 2 substitutions minimum.
Right.
I've got Kane in, so I need to get rid of him. So I'm either going to go for Aguero, which means freeing up a bit of money elsewhere, or I'm going to get Mane in this week, which means going for a very cheap option up top. The third.
Who do you think of for your cheap option up top? It sounds like Jordan Ayew.
Jordan Ayew is not a bad shout at all, and it's going to be someone that cheap to enable me to get Mane in. I mean, I'm going to have the Liverpool players ready for the double game week. It's whether I do that now or whether I just hold off and back Manchester City to win handsomely at Villa Park.
A lot of thinking to do. Not much time to do it in Sam Bonfield.
So I've already made one transfer, as I talked about earlier. I took out Alderweireld and replaced him with Holgate.
That's true.
So I've done that one. I've got another free one in the bank. Still don't have quite enough money to do Ali to Mane. I need another 0.3. So I'm probably going to hold my other transfer, roll it to next week and then make two, because I don't want to take out Tammy Abraham this week. He's got Burnley at home. Feels right. Like it could go well. So he'll probably go next week. I'll free up 0.3 and then Ali to Mane the week after.
I see. Jack?
The only player that is crying out to be taken out of my team is Dele Alli as well.
Right. Blind Alli.
Yeah. That's where he's taken me, unfortunately. And like I say, Son may be long term, but in the 3 or 4 weeks until then, I'm going to have to find a replacement. Maybe Willian or maybe Richarlison.
Yeah, Willian. We've not mentioned him, but he's just been there and kind of consistently putting up the numbers.
He's kind of under the radar, but he does. Unlike most Chelsea assets, he starts every week.
All right.
I think he's created the most chances, certainly shooting chances in the league.
So there you go.
Sold.
How much is he?
He's 7.2.
Okay. Yeah. Still beyond your budget, Sam, but other...
Everyone's got to be cheap this year if I'm going to get Mane in.
That's true. Okay. And the captain's armband. Jack, who gets the captain's armband for you?
Vardy, Salah, probably Vardy.
It's Vardy, is it?
At the end of the day, yeah.
Okay, coming back after those two games out.
Hungry, rested, yep.
All right. And for you, Sam Parkin?
I'll probably go Kevin De Bruyne, just safety this week.
Right.
He's played last 13 straight matches. Mm-hmm. He'll be in the City side again, and I think they could get a few at Villa Park.
Okay, you don't fancy Vardy, who's been such a consistent returner until that 2 week absence.
He's in my team, but I know he played in the League Cup in the week and didn't look like he was struggling at all. But he's had a calf complaint. He's missed a couple of fixtures. I just think maybe Southampton might be vastly improved.
Okay,
well they have to be surely after the St Mary's 9-0.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sam Bonfield.
So I'm actually quite torn this week. Part of me thinks I should captain Salah. I think he could return really well, but it's against Spurs and my heart can't quite bring myself to do it. So it'll be either KDB or Vardy. I'm erring on the side of Vardy simply because I think he will be much more highly owned in the game. And it really hurts when you own Vardy, he does something and you've not captained him and everyone else has, because you just end up with red arrows. So probably for just my own mental health and security, I'll probably give it to Vardy.
Yeah, it's a nice option to have if you have Vardy in your team. And I must admit, there is something about Jose Mourinho facing Liverpool that makes me think of the times when he's managed to just shut games down and you've expected big returns and they just haven't arrived because he's managed to practice a little bit of 19th century football.
Well, let's hope so.
We shall see. We shall see. Brilliant. Well, whatever you're doing, fancy manager, do make it before 7 o'clock on Friday evening. If you'd like more FPL content to help you with your selections, like the FPL show or FPL FYI, then just head over to premierleague.com. That's it for this show, though. So many thanks to Sam.
Thank you.
And to Sam.
Cheers, James.
And to Jack Lang.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you same time next week. So see you then.